Old zombie, where'd you dig him up? I like a man who's not afraid to let all his flesh fall off. Gack, said the zombie. No tongue, eh? Said Cohen. Don't worry, lad. A blood-curdling screech is all you need. And a few bits of wire, by the look of it. It's all a matter of style.
That's me. Snort, snort.
Gack.
That's me.
Your armpit. They must make you proud. I don't know when I've ever seen a more stupid bunch of henchmen, said Cohen, admiring. Harry, you're like a refreshing fart in a room full of roses. You bring them all along. I wouldn't hear of you staying behind.
Nice to be appreciated, said Evil Harry, looking down and blushing.
And what else you got to look forward to anyway, said Cohen. Who really appreciates a good Dark Lord these days? The world's too complicated now. It don't belong to the likes of us anymore. It chokes us to death with cucumbers.
What are you actually going to do, Cohen? Said Evil Harry.
Fnort, fnort.
Well, I reckon it's time to go out like we started, said Cohen. One last roll of the dice. He tapped the keg again. It's time, he said, to give something back.
Fnort, fnort.
Shut up!
An extract from the Journal of Leonard of Quirm. In the matter of flight through the air, I now believe that movement of the wings is impractical as yet. No, it is in the flight of the albatross and the eagle that we may see our way clear, who float so effortlessly but with the slightest tilt of a wingtip to influence the direction. The initial lift into the air may be by means of a launch from a high tower, which at other times may be used for signalling, or the raining of unquenchable fire upon enemies, or from a cliff. It might also be from an inclined platform, if sufficient thrust can be given by dragons or tubes of igniferous juices. Once in the air, the great bird will rise upon the currents of warm air that are constantly ascending. The helmsman reads the sky and the land below as a harbour pilot reads the surface of the sea. He will steal from the sky the means of ascension. Indeed, it is clear to me that the highest cliff of all is at the edge of the world. Once the great bird leaps from there, with such an acceleration as may be, it may alight in places on the far side of the world. When nation shall so readily reach nation, what peace shall ensue? Memo to self, I cannot find my treatise of the structure of wings, O Miss Triplet, who dusts my workshop. By you are all things consumed. At night, rays of light shone through holes and gaps in the tarpaulin. Lord Vetinari wondered if Leonard was getting any sleep. It was quite possible that the man had designed some sort of contrivance to do it for him. At the moment, there were other things to concern him. The dragons were travelling in a ship of their own. It was far too dangerous to have them on board anything else. Ships were made of wood, and even when in a good mood, dragons puffed little balls of fire. When they were overexcited, they exploded. They will be all right, won't they, he said, keeping well back from the cages. If any of them are harmed, I shall be in serious trouble with the Sunshine Sanctuary in Ankh-Morpork. This is not a prospect I relish, I assure you.
Mr. De Quirm says there is no reason why they should not all get back safely, sir.
And would you, Mr. Stibbons, trust yourself in a contrivance pushed along by dragons? Ponder swallowed.
I'm not the stuff of heroes, sir.
And what causes this lack in you, may I ask?
I think it's because I've got an active imagination.
This seemed a good explanation, Lord Vetinari mused as he walked away. The difference was that while other people imagined in terms of thoughts and pictures, Leonard imagined in terms of shape and space. His daydreams came with a cutting list and assembly instructions. Lord Vetinari found himself hoping more and more for the success of his other plan. When all else fails, pray.
All right now, lads, settle down, settle down.
Hunon Ridcully, chief priest of Blind Io, looked down at the multitude of priests and priestesses that filled the huge temple of small gods. He shared many of the characteristics of his brother Mustrum,